Not too bad.
Well, I'd be doing a whole lot better if the game had ended differently, but hey, that's the way it goes. So, baseball season, as far as I'm concerned, is over, but hey, there's always next year.
That's the way to look at it.
The Indians are up on the Yankees 1-0, so that probably will end today as well.
So how's your GPS working for you?
It's working fine as long as... Oh, wait a minute, I gotta shut this... progress bar off. Hang in here. There. It is quicker to find in the new Verbosity stuff that we're working with. Anyway, it's working all right. I mean, it's still... I'm still... it's working fine as long as I'm outside. When I seem to get inside of a vehicle, I don't get a fix or anything like that. It's happened the last three times I've been in a vehicle. And I thought, well, maybe it's the windows or something, but... It's happened three times in a row. Two of them were cabs, and the other one was a truck. So maybe I'll just take it on the way to work tomorrow and start it to see if anything happens. I thought, well, maybe it's just the vehicle, but I'm beginning to wonder now.
Yeah, see if you lose the fix when you go into the vehicle, because that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to do this morning, but my... public transit driver showed up in the wrong spot, so I never did get to go to my appointment. So maybe what I'll do is try that tomorrow on the way home, either on the way to work or on the way home, either way, and see what happens. And then I was going to walk down to, in fact, I did walk down to the new Starbucks, which just opened up about maybe a block and a half from me, and the address is 500 North Brookhurst, and it skipped from 505 down to 493, and I walked, and it looked like there was a driveway leading into a parking lot, and I think that's what it was, because the number skipped, but it was 7:30 in the morning, and there was no real way to find out where the correct door was. There was nobody around to ask, so I decided, nah, I'll just have to wait until I'll go down there at a different time of the day, or walk down there with a mobility instructor or something to find out exactly where the door is, because I was going to label it. This is a brand new address, too. I'm curious to find out what was there before. And I'm not sure, because this would be a commercial ploy. So I don't know whether navigating to it and then doing the keystroke would give me the address of the former business or not.
Yeah, if you do the, when you're there and you do a ploy search, it should bring the nearest POIs up, which would probably be the business that was there prior.
I'll have to try that when I get a chance, because I'm curious to find out. The thing, it hasn't been vacant that long, so it may be that if it was vacant before, just, you know, the time of the April map change, maybe there wouldn't be anything listed, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, and it might not be in the database. The other, depending on when the other place moved out and the Starbucks moved in, that could mean that it might have been just the right time where the other place got deleted and the Starbucks isn't there yet, and, you know, or the old place is still there. Really, it depends on how often they update their POI data.
Well, I know that when I did a search for Starbucks here recently, locally, the new address did not show up, so they may not have known about it in April, which means that maybe the old address still is in there, but I'll have to play with it and see what happens. You know, it got me there and it got me back home. So, you know, it worked out fine. So I haven't had any problems.
That's definitely what counts, getting there and getting back.
But, you know, what's weird, not having a great deal of experience, maybe this is an easy answer. Why then would a user POI seem to be more accurate than a commercial point? Because if I walk to, say, a business, which also has my user POI on it, I seem to be able to walk almost, you know, within a couple of steps of it if I look at my user POI. But if it's just a commercial one there, it seems to be a lot more inaccurate.
That's actually an easy question, and I hope the answer is easy. When they do the points of interest, you know, they calculate the points of interest, it's a computer. They're not physically going to the address. So the computer is projecting where it thinks the address is. And that's the commercial POI. Now, when you do a user POI, you're recording that latitude and longitude position. And that's exactly why it's more accurate than the commercial POI. If you go to your house and you're standing in front of your house and you hit A, chances are you're not going to get your address. You might get your neighbor's address. And it says near blah, 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 whatever the street is. So chances are you're not going to get your address. And that's because of the computer-generated maps and points of interest.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I was out there today. It was windy as well, so it was the usual tough situation to hear where I was going. Plus, trying to listen to the speech, I may have to go get myself a headset in those situations, but or at least an earphone. But yeah, it worked out really well today. It was a lot of fun to do it. I haven't gone too many places walking on my own, so that was fun. I think, you know, getting lost wouldn't be a big deal with GPS.
Peggy, the last time you were in here, you spent money.
I know, I was almost afraid to come back, but here I am.
So how's it working out for you?
I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't believe how quickly it gets a fix. In fact, if it goes a minute without getting a fix, I start to get worried.
It's a night and day difference from the serial Earthmate, huh?
It really is, and I'd always heard that the Earthmate got really quick fixes, but I guess that was when it first came out, when there was no such thing as Bluetooth. But boy, I'm just amazed at how much, and it's good fixes too. It's not, you know, like the Earthmate was fair, poor, you know, sometimes good, and very rarely, you know, a very good fix. But this is just consistently good or very good. It's just amazing.
John, did you have an older serial receiver or did you come right into the Bluetooth?
I had the BlueLogger originally. I didn't use it very much because I hated setting up all the cables and stuff like that. So I didn't use it as much as I think I would have if I'd have had something like a Bluetooth back in those days. Plus, when I was with my girlfriend who was sighted, and I didn't use it as much as I probably should have either. But now that that has changed, I'm using a lot more GPS and really enjoying it too, especially the Holix. I've got the 236. I don't know whether I'll get the new one or not. We'll see. But I'm kind of just the one I've got is fine, so I may just stick with it until the next generation rolls around, whenever that might be.
Yeah, if you have a 236, it's fine, you know, unless of course yours dies. Hello, Eileen.
Good evening.
And how are you today?
I am good. How are you?
How's your GPS working for you?
I got the M1000 and I am very impressed with it. It's working great. I find that because of the M-Power, I still have the connectivity issues, but it seems to reconnect, you know, very nicely, very smoothly. When I had thought about getting the M1000, I really wondered if I was spending more money because I have been happy with the 236, but I really do like the M1000.
You know, and that's good to hear because we were doing months of testing on these various receivers, and to see the receivers in the end user's hands, even the 236, I wasn't around for the launch of that, but I'm sure that was the same thing. To see the end result is really nice.
I was pleasantly surprised. One reason I also had bought it is because when I bought the 236, the case that I got with it had one opened end, and so a couple of times the 236 fell out of the case, and so I thought, oh well, at least this way I'll have an extra battery and a case that is probably more secure. So this worked out. I mean, I'm really impressed.
Have you taken it on those weird trips where you lose your fix, or does that not happen anymore, even with the 236?
No, I haven't taken it on the weird trip that where I usually use my fix. So that is yet to happen. One interesting thing, I remember Charles at one time saying something about there was an interest in pursuing was, and it is interesting that here I don't remember ever getting was with the 236, although I couldn't be positive. And here, even with very good readings, I've only gotten was once, which to me is a kind of interesting.
Well, when the reading is very good, it means that it's 15 feet or less.
Right. I've been trying to keep track of the HDOP and all that, and I can't remember, but they all look really good. But I was just surprised that WAS has not shown up more.
Must be where you are. The smaller the HDOP value, the better the accuracy.
Right, and I think I've been getting HDOPs like, could it be like 1.0?
Yes, I've seen them at 0.7, but that's doesn't happen very often.
I'm getting like 1.0 for the HDOP and for the VDOP, whatever it is, 1.2 perhaps, you know, pretty typically. But I'm wondering if it could be where I am, because I am not that far from the submarine base. I'm maybe 20 miles away, so I was just wondering if there could be some impact because of that.
Yeah, that I'm not sure of.
Yeah, it's been good though. So I don't really have any I don't really have any adventures to report. Everything's been going well until I do my mystery walk again. Could have done it today, but I don't know how it is where you are, but it was kind of stifling this morning. And since my buddy was going to leave quickly in a motor vehicle, I played lazy and joined him. but maybe next week we'll do the mystery walk and see what happens.
Sounds good. How about Peggy or John?
I haven't done a whole lot of walking with it, mostly just in cars. And the thing I love is having the power switch accessible. With the EarthMate, I always had to reach into my accessory pouch and then make sure I zipped it up before I stood up so that the receiver wouldn't fall out and everything. And now I just climb out of the car and switch the receiver off. Well, exit GPS and then switch the receiver off. It's right there on my shoulder, so it's wonderful. But yeah, if we ever get a warm evening after work, I just might go for a walk with it and see how it does.
You know, it's all personal preference too, but I find myself leaving the receiver right on the strap pretty much at all times, even to charge it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much leaving mine on the strap too. And I haven't noticed any real battery problems. I've been leaving Bluetooth on pretty much all the time, and maybe a little more battery drain, but I haven't noticed any major problems. I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to just leave it on all the time or turn it off and then just turn it back on when I'm going to do GPS or whatever, but so far it doesn't seem to cause any major battery problems with the Empower, so I think I'll probably just leave it on and not worry about it. And I'm still getting used to how long the receiver battery lasts. I think I'll probably charge it once a week unless I do have heavy use with it. We're going to go to Monterey next Sunday for a couple days, and I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be really fun to test it out in a different city.
That sounds pretty cool. Again, it's all personal preference, but I actually leave my Bluetooth on all the time and don't really notice any battery drain. How about Eileen or John, do you guys leave your Bluetooth on all the time?
Yeah, I leave my Bluetooth on and haven't noticed any significant battery drain, even though I use my Empower an awful lot. And also, I do leave it on the strap, and I really fling that strap around sometimes, and it's been fine.
I'm enjoying not having to have the accessory pouch attached to the bottom of my Braille Note. Although I still might use it sometimes, but it's just nice to have a smaller unit that I'm carrying around and not, a two-piece unit with the cord going up through the strap and all this stuff. It's just nice to have this little tiny unit like it was meant to be.
Yes, I found that before since I went Bluetooth, I just tend to use the, to turn on GPS a lot more. Even for short rides and stuff, as compared to when I had to hook things up and so on.
Yeah, I broke quite a few cables just because of the wear and tear on the cable.
Yeah, or just moving the handle of the Braille Note out of the way in order to get get to the keyboard, I'd always think, oh, I've got to be real careful so I don't mess up the Earthmate's cord. And now I just kind of move it over because it's only just a little receiver. It's not anything that I have to worry about anymore. And, yeah, I know what you mean about using GPS a lot more, even for short rides, because there were times I'd think, oh, by the time I get a fix, I'll be there. So what's the point in taking GPS? Well, you know, now if I get a fix about a minute after I start, hey, I'm taking it.
Exactly.
It makes you more of a participant.
Really, it's not, you're not just like sitting in a car, you know, just warming the seat. You can actually make comments about where we're going. And, you know, sometimes my husband will even look at me to find directions for a place. So that's kind of fun. I'm trying to decide whether to try out the car battery charger when we go to Monterey. It's about 3 hours, but I'm thinking, well, if the receiver's supposed to last 18 hours, maybe I'll just carry the charger in case it dies, but otherwise maybe I'll just use it on battery, and then if we stop for breakfast or to get out and stretch our legs, I don't have to unplug everything.
Yeah, you're fine. I've used it nonstop. I went from Albany, New York to Buffalo, New York on a train, and it's about a six-hour train ride, and I had it constantly running, didn't shut it off at all, and it did work fine, but it, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have the charger with you, of course.
I just wish there was a way that we would know for sure, other than just by time or asking a sighted person about the lights, to know, is my battery getting low? Is it all the way charged now? You know, it's like we're just doing it on blind faith, pardon the pun, but, you know, it's like, well, it's been a while since I've charged it. I'll plug it in. Yeah, gee, I hope I got it plugged in right. Yeah, I think I did. Well, it's been about 2 hours. It must be charged, you know, and we're just kind of trusting that yes, we do have a good, strong battery.
Yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the battery, you know, we can't get the battery from the receiver itself, and I would hazard a guess, and this is just a guess, but I would hazard a guess that if we did or were able to, then we would be stuck with a specific receiver, and that function would only work on that specific receiver.
That's kind of what I do, you know, when I think about it, and when I realize, oh, okay, I've used the receiver well, wouldn't hurt to charge it. There was only one time recently that I asked a sighted person what the lights were doing, because I just couldn't get, this is when I had the, was using the 236, just couldn't get a fix, and I couldn't understand why. And that's when I had him check the lights. So, but other than that, yeah, when I think about it, I plug the thing in, and it's worked great.
Also, if you have a Nokia phone, some of the Nokia phones, you can pull the battery out and swap it into the receiver and use it. I did that once where I forgot to turn the receiver off, and it was on for about 2 days, and there was no battery life, and I went outside to use it, and it wasn't there. So, well, the receiver became more valuable than the phone. So, the, you know.
Is that all the Nokia phones, or just one particular model?
I'm not sure about all of them, but I know like some of the, like the 6682, the N73, a few of those do work.
Of course, then you have to try to get the receiver back in that little soft case. I found that really hard. I finally went into my husband and said, will you put this back in for me? I can't get it back in. It's such a small little case that it just, it was a little tricky. Easy enough to get it out, but getting it back in was little bit difficult, I thought.
That's the snug fit of the receiver.
Well, I'd probably get this if I if I read some docs, but since we're just chatting, with the new case that I have now, there's like, on one side there's a bigger opening, on the other side there's a smaller one, and the way I have it is so that the place to plug in the adapter is the opened end. Does that sound like I've lined it up correctly?
Yeah, on the case you have three holes, correct? One is at the bottom, one is on the left, and there's a little one on the right.
Yep.
Okay. There's kind of a story behind the one on the right. Well, what happens, you have it right because the switch should be on your left side, you know, towards the bottom, you know, if you have it laying on the table. But as far as the hole on the right side, we were going to go with a different receiver, but it turned out that it wasn't that good, and the cases were already, you know, the hole was already cut for him. So.
Ah, and mystery solved. I was puzzling over that.
I bet you a lot of people are, actually, because it's like it doesn't make sense that it's there and there's no hole and there's no nothing to plug it in, but that's really what happened.
I just figured somebody got happy when they were cutting holes.
Okay, let's see. I've got my receiver on my neck right now. I've got the switch points away from my shoulder. I mean, well, toward my shoulder. The extra hole is toward my neck, and the bottom where the charger plug goes points toward my arm, kind of. I don't know if that makes sense. Hopefully I have it on the strap and in the case in the correct way, but that's the way that the hole seemed to make sense.
Makes sense to me, and you have it right.
I was trying to figure out from the getting started guide, they were talking about when plugging the charger into the receiver, about some part being narrower, and you know, as far as how to orient it, and I couldn't quite understand that. I think I've kind of figured out a way to tell, just because it seems like the smoother part of the plug on the charger faces up, but I couldn't understand what part was supposed to be narrower and what part was supposed to be wider. So I just kind of try to plug it in. If it doesn't fit, I rotate it and try again. But I wonder if that can you clarify that at all?
Yeah, I can. Actually, what happens here is, and Holix is bizarre, because sometimes they ship a power supply that is connected to the cable. It's one whole unit. It's hardwired, you know. And another time they'll ship just a little plug, and then on the end of the plug is a USB port, and then you plug in a standard USB cable to that port, which is the wider end, and the other end is the narrower end that the user's guide is talking about. So if your cable doesn't come apart from the power supply, then you only have the narrow end. Does that make sense?
I think kind of. On the plug, there's a little skinnier part, and then there's a wider part, but it doesn't seem to be anything that would come apart. Of course, I'm not going to try to pull on it and find out, but that does kind of clarify it. It sounds like they have two different designs or something. So I guess just as long as it fits into the charger, then that's the correct way that it's supposed to go in.
Right, and you actually, we were talking about power, you can actually, in a pinch, you can plug your Bluetooth into an M-Power's USB port and draw power from the Braille Note. So the receiver would actually work, and you can draw power from the Braille Note and use it, or you can, if you're at work and you forget your charger at home, you can just take a standard USB cable and plug it into a computer and charge the receiver, you know, while you're at work.
I see, because it would actually be charging while it was plugged in. So, of course, the M-Power would be discharging unless it was plugged into its charger too. But then you just plug one end of the USB cable into the receiver and the other end into the USB port on the M-Power and go like that, I guess.
Correct. If you did that, because I've actually done that in hotels where I'll plug the Braille Note into the wall and then I'll plug the receiver into the USB port of the Braille Note. Now, having said that, the Braille Note needs to be physically turned on in order for the receiver to actually get power.
Great point. That's really good to know.
If I'm too lazy to take my charger, it's just one less thing to carry, as long as you have a USB cable that you're going to need for something else anyway.
Or if you're in a place that doesn't have two plugs, you know, maybe there's a lamp plugged in that a sighted person would need or something, you could just plug the Braille Note in, you know, and then it doesn't matter if it's left on because it can still charge, and then just plug the receiver into the M-Power and everybody's happy.
Yeah, the first thing I do is unplug the lamp when I'm in a hotel because it's usually the easiest thing to find and it's the easiest thing to get to when you need to charge your stuff.
I do the same thing, too, unless I'm sharing the room with a sighted person.
Well, if I was doing that, they'd have to deal with it. But actually, what you can do in you know, a traveling situation is, you know, you can get these squid things, or you can get, like, a 3 or 6 inch extension cord from Radio Shack, or you get 2 or 3 outlets by plugging one, you know, into the one wall, and you don't have a long strip outlet to carry around with you, so you'd have 3 extra outlets, or actually, yeah, 3 extra outlets.
Kind of like a mini plug-in strip idea, I guess.
I like the squid because you have, I have one that has 6 tentacles or cords, and you can get 6 things on the one outlet, but then again, that's something a little bit bigger to carry than a 6-inch or 3-inch extension cord.
Well, even in my house, you know, which is an old house with not a great many outlets, I first heard about that squid Wayfun last year, and it is really, it's really a great thing to have.
It's called squid, like the little thing with tentacles, and you can get it at Radio Shack, you said?
You can get them at Radio Shack. You can get those at Circuit City, and you can get them surge protected or not surge protected. I guess it depends on what you know want it for. The one that I have, I got it from Circuit City. I think it was like $39 or something. But the thing that it does is when you press the power button to turn it on, you can't tell that it's on unless you have something that's going to start talking to you to, you know, AC adapter on or whatever. But one thing that I did notice is that I turned it on and then I unplugged it from the wall and then plugged it back in and it still was in the on position. So as long as it's on, I know it's on, and I haven't actually turned it off since.
I just have a cheapy one. It doesn't have a switch or anything. I think I got mine at Radio Shack. Just works like an extension cord, except it's got those lovely tentacles.
Is it small enough that you could carry it in those Handyworks Braille Note carrying cases? Just pop it in there and take it with you?
Mine's not, no.
No, I don't think mine would be either. It's not terribly big, but it wouldn't fit in that case, I don't think. Of course, in my case, I have a network card, I have money, I have stamps, earphones. Let's see, what else is in there? Oh, I got the Oxford English Dictionary for the Empower, so my case is pretty stuffed to begin with.
Speaking of the Oxford Dictionary, Eileen, you know you can copy that Oxford folder off of that compact flash card onto your GPS card if you have enough room, and then you're only using the one card for both.
Well, that is cool because, just by the regular, you know, using the standard procedures?
Yeah, what I did is I copied mine to my computer onto the hard drive and then put the GPS card into the computer and then copied it back, but I don't see why you couldn't do it through the Braille Note if you had to.
That is awesome. Thank you.
You know, I tried to do that because I didn't want to have to be constantly switching cards, and I didn't want to leave my Oxford Dictionary in all the time and drain the battery. But when I tried to copy the folder over and then tried to look up something, it didn't, I don't know if I copied the wrong thing, but it didn't recognize the dictionary, so I must have done something wrong. Maybe I'll try it with the computer and see what happens.
Yeah, you want to get the Oxford folder, and you just want to copy the Oxford folder onto your compact flash card. All it is data. It's not, you know, it's not looking at the serial numbers of the cards or anything. It's looking for that Oxford folder on the compact flash card or PC card. So as long as you have it available, it should find it. And if your maps and your Oxford dictionary are on the same card, then that's even better.
I like that because, as Peggy said, I'm always concerned about leaving it or losing it. Or so this would be great to have that backup.
I think that was the first thing I tried because I didn't want to have 2 cards. Just a tiny bit off topic, but that Oxford Dictionary is wonderful. I use it when I'm trying to figure out how to spell a word, and you don't have to open the word processor. You can just go from anywhere and try and spell the word and get your suggested list, and I think it's great.
I do too. One of my students in his class, you know, that they at least last year, and it'll probably happen again, they have to look up words and so on, and he was using a language master, but this is so great. I mean, it's I just can't say all the aggravation it has relieved because he has the Oxford.
Yeah, and if you have a Braille note and you're a student, there's no reason to get the Language Master. You just get the Oxford Dictionary and you're all set.
Absolutely.
I remember the dictionaries on tape.
So do I. I also remember a 7-volume or 8-volume thing called the Vest Pocket Dictionary. And I used to try to picturing a huge kangaroo with a great big pocket to hold the 8 Braille volumes.
I remember I used to have a 36-volume Webster Student Dictionary, I think it was called. I finally got rid of that thing. But especially now that I have the Braille note and I have a dictionary on my computer and everything, it's like, I'm not going to have these 36 bulky volumes clogging up my bookshelves.
People never believed me when I told them I bought my house to have enough room for my Braille volumes, and now that's a thing of the past.
Never could understand why anybody would name an 8-volume dictionary the Pocket Dictionary.
Right.
Remember, I was really excited one day because I had my 18-volume Bible, and then I got this 36-volume dictionary, and I called a friend over. I said, look, you know, I've got all these books now. I feel like this is a library. And she said, yeah, 2 books. She was excited. She was just laughing at me.
Yeah, but it looks like a library.
Of course, now I can laugh at sighted people because I just carry a bunch of books around on a memory card, take my card from my home Braille note to my work Braille note, and, you know, I'm carrying hundreds of books with me and in just in my purse, and I don't know many sighted people who can do that.
Oh, it's just wonderful. I feel like it's just like a new world, and it is. It's so exciting.
No, I had heard something somewhere, but I don't remember where I heard it from, where they, you know, 20 years ago, we were clamoring for books to read on tape, and now we have places like Bookshare, NLS, RFBND, you know, Gutenberg even for the classics, anything, and, you know, you're carrying around thousands and thousands of pages of books. That is really cool.
Yeah, I wish I'd had all of that when I was going to college. It would have made things so much simpler. And even a note taker. I mean, when I went to college in the late 70s, and I was still at the time where you could have books on tape, but that was a bit bulky. And for the senior project, of course, I had to type it, literally type it, and then turn it into the instructor, and they would make corrections, and I have to retype it from the very beginning again for, you know, seeming like you know, at least 20 or 30 drafts. Kids today don't know how easy they have it.
Have you ever typed a whole paper and then found out the ribbon didn't work on your typewriter?
Yep, that happened more than once.
Yes, and when I used to write college papers, no matter how I outlined my ideas and everything, I always had to rewrite, you know, reorganize paragraphs, put things in a different order, which obviously meant Braille, 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 and now just cutting and pasting. It's the first thing I teach my students about block commands and cutting and pasting.
Well, and even today in mobility instruction, I think we're going to see now more and more cane and dog and GPS as an adjunct to it. You know, at least for the instructors that I know, they realize that it's not 100%, but I mean, it's certainly a great addendum to what we've been using for years, and if it can help out, why not use it?
We're still working on that at this end, but I think with this MAPS program that Sendero has now, that's a good transition, and I think that's going to help ease, especially O&M instructors, into the idea of, you know, it expands the horizon so much more for all of us, and it doesn't give them extra work to do, not if it's done properly.
Yeah, and a kid today would eat that program up and learn so much about their environment just from the MAPS portion. You know, you're strolling around your neighborhood, and you as a 9 or 10 year old know that there are things around you that, you know, it's nice, because then if you're ever out and about, you could say, I live on such and such a street near such and such a business. You know, give the sighted people back their landmarks.
Oh, I think that was a real spark of genius to include that. That's because I'm sure I'll be able. I'm sure I'll be able to get permission to get that for my students. Whereas the transition to ask for GPS for a 9 or 10 year old, I'd never get that through. But this will be a nice way to start the process. It's wonderful that you guys came up with that.
And even those who are going to college or learning in a blind institution setting, I mean, they got to learn. They got to start somewhere. And some place, I know the Braille Institute, where I'm about a mile and a half from there, in Orange County. And they said the only problem with GPS, of course, in terms of using the Empower, is the expense of getting all those Empires. So they may end up starting at least with Trekker, which would at least allow them to teach the concepts. Is the address lookup in this new program? Because I think that's a valuable feature as well.
Basically, the program is the virtual mode. It's the GPS 4.0 without the GPS.
So really, for someone who already has GPS, there wouldn't be any benefit to getting this new MAPS program. It would be more for someone who didn't have GPS or who wasn't really out and about traveling or interested in doing so to have a way to become familiar with their environment.
That's absolutely correct. And you couldn't run them both on the same system anyway.
Now, is this MAP program going to be compatible with older Braille notes, or does it start with 7.2 as well?
Unfortunately, it's still PK Empower and 7.0.
Well, on another topic, I'm every year in Orange County, there's what's called Warsaw, which is the women's oceanographic, or it's women who love to sail, and they get together with their sailboats and with various admirals from various, you know, boating and sailing type organizations, and they essentially take and sponsor a day in which kids and young adults from Orange County and even into LA County as well can come down to the Balboa Bay area and sail on these various yachts and sailboats and so forth for a day. And they take you out of the harbor and actually out to sea for a while, 2-3 hours and so forth. And I think this year I'm going to take my GPS with me just to kind of get a first-hand look in terms of what it looks like and sounds like, even though I've heard about what it should be from Mike May, from others on the list. It'll be a first-hand opportunity to kind of just look at it and see what there is to see.
One thing that you can do is if there are any nav aids in the water. And this one of our Wayfund participants this year's husband, when we took the ferry from Washington to Victoria, Victoria and then to Vancouver, what he had done prior was create user points of interest of the nav aids. And he did that using the latitude and longitude positions. And then he did really a neat thing with the descriptions of the nav aids so that when we were on the ferries, we had that as well. So you could probably do that as well if you could find the latlons, the nav aids.
I'm not sure I know what you mean by nav aids.
The buoys and stuff in the water.
Okay, good. Yeah, matter of fact, I'll talk to somebody about that. Maybe somebody can actually look out for them and tell me when they're coming up, and we can do that. That's a good idea, and I will if I can.
If you could do it prior to, you know, using latitude and longitude, that would be cool, because then you would have it already there. It was really kind of funny because, you know, we were on the ferry and it said whatever the ferry, whatever the nav aid was, it says the ferry is about to make a right turn X amount of degrees or something, and then all of a sudden the ferry just starts turning. It was really kind of cool.
So when you find the latitude and longitude, you just copy it into the clipboard and then move it over to the description and the point of interest that you're creating? Is that how you do it?
No, actually what you do is you do a space with Y or a read with Y on a QT, and that prompts you for the latitude, the degrees, minutes, and seconds, and then north, and then it'll prompt you for the longitude, the degrees, minutes, and seconds, and then west. So you type that in, and then it says define as destination, POI, or virtual. and then you set that as your point of interest, and then you put whatever you want in the description and the user category and all that.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at that.
One thing I've always been curious about when I watch the GPS and it says, you know, north 0 degrees or northeast or northwest, how does it decide what exactly is northwest and what is just plain west? I mean, and when does it switch from being considering a direction to be just west or northwest or southwest? I've always tried to watch the number of degrees and figure it out, and I haven't quite gotten the idea of exactly when it considers that you're going northwest or northeast as opposed to north or east.
Depending on the, you know, a couple degrees to the left and to the right, but zero is, you know, you have a 360-degree circle, and zero is due north, and 90 is east, 180 is south, and 270 is west. Now, anywhere, and Charles could actually probably give the exact formula of when north becomes northeast, but it's somewhere between like 10 degrees and 80 degrees or 90 degrees or something, where it becomes north, northeast, east, and then southeast, south, southwest, west, and then northwest.
That'd be just kind of interesting to know. I knew about, you know, north zero and that kind of thing, but I couldn't quite tell when it would switch from north to northeast. You know, I knew due north is zero, due east is 90, etc., but I couldn't quite tell from watching the degrees that it would say it was, I was headed, exactly what the cutoff point was between north and east. And I was just curious if there was a system, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a system, but I don't know what it is.
Well, I think I'm going to leave you to see how the Yankees are doing, and wish you all a good week, and thanks, as always. I learned something and from the chats, and it's fun to hear other voices on the line, so have a great week, everybody.
Last I heard, or at least about an hour ago, they were down 1-0. Of course, every team now down 2-0 has been eliminated today. Angel season just ended, unfortunately, and I'm still ticked about that. So let's hope the Yankees can hold on at least for another day.
I think I'm going to head out, too, and see what needs doing around here, and maybe I'll make this more of a regular habit. This is I always forgot about these chats or was always busy, so I'm glad I've been able to attend a couple of them and get a few little pointers and spend a few bucks for a wonderful receiver, and I'll see you guys later on the list.
Sounds good.
More people ought to come in here and take a look at this. It's really a lot of fun, and you learn a lot at the same time, or even if you just check the archives out. But I don't know. For whatever reason, it's usually the same 5 or 6 or 7 people.
Yeah, it's in any situation, you have your regulars.
I don't know if I'd mention it to you, but I'm going to go with Jamie, and we're hopefully going to do more of the Disneyland Resort. Most of Disneyland's done, but some of the other parts are not done. So I hope sometime around Thanksgiving, when she comes down here, we're going to spend some time and hopefully finish off the whole resort. If they ever send me to Disney World to do some stuff, then I'd like to be able to do that too. But dividing work time versus fun time might be a problem, so I don't know if that would ever get done. I guess one of these days I had to put a map of Florida in there and just see how much Mike and others have done.
There you go, and that sounds cool. That's really cool that the, you know, the rides and stuff are getting marked.
It's just so neat. I mean, yesterday we were going to meet somebody at the ticket booth, so I just was reading the Braille display as I was walking along, and they all popped up because I thought I was going to have to label. I didn't remember seeing the main entrance near the ticket booth last time I checked, but sure enough, it was there. So she got just about everything. She thinks maybe everything. So. We may want to compare and see if there's anything left to do, but it was neat to just see it come right on up on the Braille display as I walked to it, and it was right on accurate. So I don't think there's a problem at all now. If I were alone without anybody sighted walking through Disneyland with me, I think I probably could find whatever I wanted to find. Now, I don't know, based upon the accuracy, whether it would walk me directly right up to the Space Mountain entrance for the line, or whether I might have to play around with that a little bit. But, you know, I'll have a chance maybe to experiment a little bit more as we go along. But based on what I did yesterday, it was fun.
Yeah, chances are it's not going to get you to the line. It's going to get you within proximity of that line, but you should be able to find it, you know, from the rest of with your orientation and mobility, which is cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, with a cane and with a lot of people around, that might be a little bit of a problem. I just have to be very careful. Like, it'd probably be easier with a dog than it would with a cane because of the numbers and so forth. But, you know, it's certainly, at least it's an opportunity to move around without having to depend on somebody to get you from one attraction to another. So that's it's exciting. What I don't know, a lot of stores in downtown Disney, and I don't know how close they are to one another. So it may, you know, finding an opportunity to put a point of interest down on each one might be a problem in terms of accuracy, but we'll just have to see how that works out.
Yeah, depending on how close they are, the points might step on each other.
I guess that's something we'll just have to work out as we go along. But at least there's an interest in doing that, and I think it'd be fun if people around the country who go to various theme parks could do the very same thing, because then at least everybody would have full benefit from it. Just wish there was a way to share that with other people on other with other note takers, because, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but I guess that's technologically something that can't be done for the moment.
Right, exactly. And yeah, I mean, that's an easily a day project for to go through and mark the points, but again, that's worthwhile. Absolutely.
Well, I guess I'll get at it. You haven't heard any more about when they're going to release the KeySync, have you? Because I've delayed moving over to 7.5 just for that reason, and I want to do it, but I'd like to have the current KeySync so that I can sync stuff up.
Yeah, I don't know when they're going to release KeySync.
Oh, well. Whenever they do, then I'll move over. It's not any big deal. So, anyway, I'll get out of here for now, and we'll, let's see, I think I'll be gone next week. I've got some stuff going on, but I'll catch up on the archives eventually and probably come back on the 21st. The salient thing is the 20th, so I'll probably, you know, I'll let you know if anything exciting happens out of that. But that'll be different and interesting.
Sounds good. Take care.